As we look at your faithfulness today, we're so thankful, Lord, that we can read your word and see how you have been faithful and how you're faithful even today. Just pray that you'll bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we had faithfulness last week. Psalm 91. And I don't know, as you read these songs, if you aren't thinking about other songs that have been written. But, man, as I was studying this week, songs kept popping into my head. And then I was listening to the radio, and there were songs there that I was kept thinking of these psalms. And it was just a blessing this week, as always. Key verse here, Psalm 91. 91, verse 1 and 2 is what I've chosen here. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. In Him I will trust. So God is a refuge and a fortress. This psalm is anonymous. It may have been written by Moses. I have some inkling that it might be, but not for sure on that, of course. But as you read, you can see some of the evidences that it could possibly be written by Moses. When I thought of You Are My Fortress, or God being a fortress, I thought of Ron Hamilton's song, You Are My Fortress. You are my hiding place in time of trouble. I run to the rock and seek Your face. Though others fail me, my dearest friend is always true. I hope you can say this, Oh, how I love You. You are my fortress. I trust in You. You know, last week we looked at Psalm 11, where the theme was, In God we trust. This week in Psalm 91, In God I trust. We can trust in Him. Not only we can, but I can. It's personal. So as we look at the psalm, there are several different sections here. We can trust in God as the place of shelter, the promise of deliverance, peace through our faith in Him, protection from adversity, and perseverance, the perseverance of God. As you look at Psalm 91, verse 1, you know, that key verse here, verse 1 and 2, there's so much packed in these two verses. He who dwells in the secret place, in the shelter of the Most High, not only the Most High, but the Sovereign God, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, the Omnipotent One. And I will say of the Lord, that covenant-keeping God, He is my refuge, my fortress. My God, the supreme God of the universe, in Him I will trust. So as we look at the psalm, I trust in You to be my shelter in the time of trouble. And then I thought of the familiar song, The Lord's my rock, in Him we hide a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. Do you get weary? Tired? He's our rock. A shade by day, defense by night. No fear's alarm, no foe affright. So as you think of these psalms, or as you read these psalms, I hope you think of different songs that give you encouragement and exhort you to trust in Him. Remove my fear to trust in God. Look as we look at on through here, verses 3 through 5. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Okay, the snare of the fowler, those that catch birds or take care of birds. From the perilous pestilence, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. Again, that same picture here that we've seen many times throughout the Psalms, but protection under, or refuge under, His wings. He's the truth. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Not only that small shield, but that shield that shields your body from protection. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, Not only not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. And then verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even Most High, your dwelling place. So, another song. When shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see. I never fear, for my Savior is near. My Lord abides with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? How can we fear? He's in our care. He's keeping us. You know, I remember these songs because when I was captain of Patch Club, you know, singing the songs in the Patch Club choir, these kids are learning these songs, and it's just like the truths are just abundant, and just another reminder of how great God is and how faithful He is. So not only remove my fear to trusting God, but also thank you for protecting me with your angels. As you look on from verse 9, because you made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no plague shall come near your dwelling. All these things are kind of reminiscent of Satan's testing of Jesus in the wilderness, or tempting of him. For he shall give the angels charge over you, keep you in your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And then in verse 13, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. And then verse 14, because he has loved me, because he has set his love upon me, therefore he will deliver him. He will set him up on high because he has known my name. Verse 14 has, give me a consuming passion for you. Do you have a consuming passion for him? A passion for thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul, a thirst for my God. Hear thou my prayer, Lord, thy power impart, not just to serve, but to love you with all of my heart. Do you have that passion for him? Do you love him? You know, it's an encouragement to me that I need to keep loving him more and more every day. And if I don't get a chance to open his word, study it every day, I'm missing something. And it's just given me, I know, it's taken me a long time to learn this. You know, it's kind of like the children of Israel. They had to keep getting reminded over and over throughout the wilderness and all these different instances throughout the history of the children of Israel. But same thing's true with me. I need to keep doing that reset button, be reminded that I need to go to the Lord, have fellowship with him. A consuming passion for you. Other thoughts here on chapter 91. I didn't finish up verse 15 and 16, but how long life will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Thoughts here on Psalm 91. Yeah. Margaret's still young. Still young.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We talked to Ruth, though.
but that's true. No matter what age you are, you can still serve him. Yeah. And I don't remember what they call him down at the village. They're called the three ladies? Okay, do you remember? There's three ladies, you know, they're widows, and they get together and they send out cards to missionaries and birthday cards to the people in the village and whatnot. And that's their ministry. It's their little ministry there. And you can find ways to minister in all different ways, not only being prayer warriors, but just sending a little card, a little note to somebody as a note of encouragement. And, you know, they're up in there in their 90s and still, I mean, you can tell they're handwritten notes. They aren't just something that's printed off a computer. So it's just a ministry for them and something to praise the Lord for. Joel, you had something.
Yeah.
And the Lord's brought you through this trial, this trouble. There's nothing saying he's not going to bring you through the next one because he's faithful. And Wayne. Right where he was. And, you know, when I think of the temptation that Christ went through with, you know, the devil didn't attack Jesus with his own words. He used the words of, you know, God's word, words from the Psalms, whatever, to say that, you know, this is, and he twists and turns it. And Lord saw right through that and said, no, you can't tempt me. And it's great. Example of what we need to do when temptation comes to us, and to not be swayed, and so that was a blessing. So, other thoughts here, Psalm 91. All right, Psalm 105. Psalm 105. And the King James titles this psalm, "The Eternal Faithfulness of the Lord." The Eternal Faithfulness of the Lord. But I have several key verses, and this is a long chapter, but it's these key verses all tie in together with what's being said throughout the psalm here. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Are you giving thanks to the Lord? Are you calling upon his name? Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. We have so much to praise him for. Even through trials and going through trials, we have so much to praise him for. Psalm verses 5 and 6. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O, the seed of Abraham, his servant, the child of Jacob, his chosen ones. Remember his marvelous works. And the last verse here, that they, verse 45, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws, praise the Lord. You know, and I'm looking at these key verses and I'm reading this psalm, and the psalm has illustrations throughout the history of the children of Israel throughout this whole psalm. But as I was reading it, I'm going, where's the monument? Remember, as the children passed through the Jordan River, they set the stones. A monument, a reminder of what God has done. And here throughout this psalm, it's another monument. And we need to have monuments in our own lives for our children to remember and to know that God is faithful. So as we look at Psalm 105, God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. God isn't like me. You know, I promised my wife that, yeah, I'll remember to take the garbage out to the curb in the morning. And Wednesday morning comes and I'm running late and I forget to take the garbage out. So guess who has to do it? You know, God's faithful. He keeps his promises. And I try, dear, and I'll keep trying, all right? The eternal faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness revealed by praise. Verses 1 through 6, revealed by praise. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, sing praises, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he's done, his wonders, his judgments. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. And then the faithfulness of the patriarchs by promise. The birth of his people. You know, verses 16 through 22 has basically the history, the start of the actual nation of Israel. From Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, the land of Canaan. And then the next section here, God's faithfulness to Joseph by providence, the strengthening. Now think about that, the strengthening of God's people when the children of Israel were in Egypt, and the strengthening of them, that's verses 20 or 16 through 22. So we've got them being slaves and being in bondage there, and the Lord testing them. And then in verse 23 through 36, his deliverance, Israel in Egypt by protection, delivering his people out of Egypt. So basically going through that section there, how he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he's chosen. They performed signs and wonders in the land, and so on. And then verses 37 through 41, God's faithfulness to Israel in the Exodus, the guidance of his people. So verses 37, he also brought them out with silver and gold, and Egypt was glad that they departed, and so on. The cloud covering, the fire by, to give light at night. So it gives all that throughout that whole section there. And then the last section here, 42 through 45, God's faithfulness of Israel in the conquest by promise, the covenant of God's people. So verses 42, where he remembered his holy promise, Abraham, his servant, brought his people with joy and gave them the land of the Gentiles. And then it ends with, that they might observe his statutes, keep his laws, praise the Lord. So, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. We ought to respond with praise. How often are you telling other people and praising the Lord for what he's done? Just should be part of our conversation. You know, we have great fellowship together, and that's the part I love about our church, is that when we have fellowship, people are praising the Lord for what he has done in their lives. It's a blessing. You know, there are other churches that you wonder why there isn't life, why they don't have joy. Could be this reason. They aren't praising the Lord for what he's doing. Give me your strength. We need his strength day by day. Help me be faithful and obedient. Help me to rejoice in my salvation. Do you rejoice in your salvation? You know, it's an admonition to me to rejoice in my salvation every day. I don't know that I really tell the Lord, thank you for my salvation every day. And I need to. He is so good. Heather was just talking this morning about a gal that's come with them. And she just got saved 2 weeks ago. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Salvation. God is faithful. God is in control. Think of all the Lord will provide and has provided. He's provided a lamb. He's provided a way of escape. He provides for all of our needs. And that's just what from little parts of what the Bible says, not to say what God's done in your life. Think of all he has done and praise him. Long chapter here, loaded with a lot of history, but thoughts here on Psalm 105. Go ahead, Grant.
I just think this is a neat chapter.
It is. It's really cool. You know, I think of the church and, you know, back in the days when it first started, you know, I was down in Stuartville and I remember coming up. But, you know, that's something important because I kind of get into genealogy things here. My wife gets a little sick of it, but I enjoy finding out more about the history of the family, but the history of the church. We need to relish that as far as, you know, what God has done, what he's brought us through. And, you know, I think we need to just start compiling that together and get kind of a synopsis of that. That would be just awesome, you know, what the Lord's done and done with our church and praising for what he's done here. I mean, I just am so thankful that for this church.
You came up here with some of the tent meetings?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's when we had the old tent. Yeah, well, that tent moved around quite a bit. We were down in Sargent and Hayfield. And, yeah, so, yeah, it was the old days. Yeah, so the good. Oh, man. Anyway, moving on. So other thoughts here on Psalm 105. So, but it is a rich, rich historical chapter here. It just I just enjoyed reading it. You know, just thinking again of what God has done through those different times in history. So, other thoughts? Yep. Yeah, but you summed it up. Proclaim his name throughout all the earth. And think that's what it's all about. I mean, the Bible's for everyone, you know. Even though we aren't children of Israel, we're children of God, and it's for us, and it's real, and so thankful for it. Yeah. So.
You know, where this psalm stops, it doesn't give you at least a pause to wonder if something like Joshua.
Yeah. Could have, yeah. It's just, you know, you wonder how the Lord used these different patriarchs of the Bible, and it could have been one of them, you know, you just don't know. So, but thank Him for all He's done, and He is so faithful. Well, let's move on here. Psalm 146. Psalm 146. I chose as the key verse here, the very last verse in the psalm, "The Lord shall reign forever." Amen? "The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord." He's going to reign. He's going to reign forever. Blessedness of trusting God. Aren't we blessed that we can trust Him? And then in the outline here, the Lord can do it all. There's nothing He can't do. And then it breaks down these 10 verses in my song, in my security, and in my strength. So as we look at the psalm, praise the Lord with my, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. That should be our song. That we will sing praises to our God while we have our being, while we have life. The psalmist's final hallel consists of five psalms, the five hallelujahs. Psalms 146 through 150. Each one begins with and ends with, hallelujah, praise the Lord. So Psalm 146's praise focuses on the trustworthiness of the Lord, how He can be trusted. So verses 1 and 2, do I praise Him with all my being? Can you say that? Kind of a checklist that I made here. Can you say that you praise Him with all your being? I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Verse 3, do I trust Him rather than men? Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs and returns to the earth. In that day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. Do I thank Him for the help He gives and the hope that is from Him? And I've had to put this part in. Blessings innumerable. Have you really tried to number or to count all the blessings that He gives you? I just can't think of it all. I try to write it down, and I know there are things I'm missing. It's an encouragement to write them down. Blessings innumerable. And then verses 6 through 9, praise Him for creating all things. Not only creating all things, but executing justice. You know, we talked about Him being the judge. He executes justice. He's fair, but just. Helping the helpless. Loving the righteous. Protecting the vulnerable. Praise Him for all. Happy is He who is God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those up who are bowed down. He loves the righteous. He watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widows. But the way of the wicked, He turns upside down. And then it finishes out, He shall reign. The Lord shall reign forever. Praise the Lord. The Lord is worthy of praise. Thoughts here on Psalm 146. Not nearly as long as 105, but just as powerful. Think about those last five chapters of Psalms, all starting with and ending with, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise Him for what He's done. What a reminder for us. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. Any thoughts? Dan.
We went to the Lord.
Amen. Yep. Keep hitting that reset button. Praise the Lord for this. Praise the Lord for that. You know. So, amen. Great to hear the Word of God. And you may have heard, it's like I said, we're covering Psalm 51. I've heard sermons from Psalm 51. Can't tell you how many times over 50 years, but, you know, God's Word is still true. And Psalm 46, praise the Lord for everything. So, other thoughts? All right, well, how about a time? I don't want to get into the next section here. Today, we'll just hold off. I won't be here for the next 2 weeks. Kay and I have graduation season going on, so we're going to be gone to Kansas City and Milwaukee next week and the week after, but we'll be back in 2 weeks, and Joel's got someone to cover for us. But let's take some time here and just have time. We just have a few minutes. Praise the Lord for what He's done. We have so much to praise Him for. Let's just praise Him this morning.